grace of God, or because of the glory of God that rests upon me, or that his angel encamps the glory of God that rests upon me, or that it's about what's going on in my life. I need to know that my tribulation or my pressure is only there so that I can show the glory of God that's down on the inside of me. Y'all don't let me. I ain't going to finish this. Hallelujah. He said patience. Look at this. He said knowing. We got to know this. We got to know tribulation works patience. And when we talk about patience, patience is just endurance. It's just fortitude, constancy. It is to be perseverant. And it means to be steadfast. And so when I have patience, patience helps me to be able to endure whatever it is I'm going through. The word persevere, it means to overcome obstacles along the way. And so there is some obstacles that's going to get in my way. Even if I have tribulation, I know these obstacles are in my way. I learn how to run this race with patience. I learn that not only am I to run this race with patience, but I'm going to let patience have her perfect work. Let me tell you once again, patience is a her, because Sarah is the mother of patience and Abraham the father of faith. And when you get faith and patience together, it produces the promise of God. Do I have anybody here? We got to learn how to let patience, who carried a baby 9 months, patience, who allowed her body to get stretched out of proportion, patience, who allowed the pains of birthing to come, but she was willing and ready to go through all of that so that she can get what God had in store for her. And that's what patience does for you. Patience make you wait when you don't feel like it. Patience make you say, okay, I know this sickness got to stop. You know how it is when you first get pregnant, ladies, you know, and you have morning sickness. You say, I'll be glad when I get past this point, because you know at some point that's going to stop. Oh, come on and say amen. You got to know that it's something that you'll start to crave, and hopefully it's the word of God. When you're patient, you get the word of God. You crave the word of God. You look at things that are happening in your life and say, it's not going to be like this always. I know that it's only for an appointed time that I got to go through this. Only for an appointed time that I got to feel what I'm feeling inside of me, and then it's going to be outside of me. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, come on and say glory to God. He says not only does the tribulation work patience, but then when you have patience, it works experience. What is experience? Experience means the character, the integrity, the strength gained in small. I wish I had somebody. I got integrity. I got character. In other words, I care how I act while I'm going through. Character. Come on and say hallelujah. And so I go through my troubles and I go through my trials, but I get strengthened. I get strong. Amen. I go through all of this stuff, but when I go through, I don't complain, because I got patience. I got good character. I got integrity. So when I go through all this stuff, I can really sing Marvin.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 8.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I am functioning by the Spirit of the Lord to deal with this word that we have before us today, found in Malachi. We're going to start at the first chapter, and our launching scripture is going to be verse 13, but I thank the Spirit of the Lord for the liberty to walk through the text and just bring out the truths as he so reveals them. Malachi chapter 1, verse 13 says, Malachi, ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now, Malachi is dealing with the spiritual decline of the people of God. And he says some pretty tough things to Israel. And if you look closely in the text, a lot of this is mirrored in our day and time. But one of the things that you're going to note is that though he said some pretty harsh things, they deserved it. They deserved it because they found themselves giving less than their best to the God who had given them all the best that they had ever experienced in this life, called them, chose them, made them his own, fought the enemies against them, built up places, and gave to them things that they didn't deserve. And yet they on their own and of their own accord chose not to serve God in spirit and truth, chose not to serve God in a hearty and healthy manner, chose not to serve God with the fullness of their heart and their head. And so there are some things that I want to look at. God starts off by making clear his love for them. Let's look at verse 1. Malachi chapter 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, Malachi starts off by making it clear, I don't even want to have to tell y'all this. And God knows, as a pastor, I know there are many times when God gives me a word to say, I don't really want to say it. I mean, it's not always a popular thing to preach the truth. And y'all ain't got to say, man, I'm telling you the truth. You know, because you know you look and you look and you see folk, and you know if our eyes were bullets, you'd probably be shot down. You know, and then they're wondering, are you talking to me personally? Is this something you done heard about me or you know about me, and you trying to tell me something? When it's God's word talking to all of us. And yet, you know, I mean, he finds it a burdensome responsibility, but as Paul has said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So he starts off, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw them down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Now, he's making it clear his position on Jacob and Esau, his position on what he loves and what he hates. He's making clear his position on that he has vowed, and it will come to pass. As he moves on to verse 6, he deals with now, and this is important to see, God does things decently and in order. So he starts off dealing with the priest in the temple before he ever gets to the people. He starts off talking about how the priests slash pastors have messed up in how they have dealt with things before he ever gets to the people. And that's why a whole lot of folk don't understand how God's structure is. And so when God begins with judgment, he begins with those who are in position and authority, because what is clear is that I'm not responsible for how you receive and handle the word, but I am responsible for how I present and give in the right effect the word. You see, you can't do right if I don't tell you right. And you can't honor what you don't know. And it's my responsibility. That's why he says, how can they hear without a preacher? And see, that's why everybody who preaches need to make sure they've been sent to preach. Because the condemnation that God's going to put on those who just got up and went and they were not sent, just because they wanted reverend in front of their name or this or that, a bishop or whatever the case is, or somebody told them they sound like a preacher, they look like a preacher, you must be a preacher, then you better be careful who does the sending. Because some people will send you and God ain't had nothing to do with you. You know, preachers back in the days of slavery, I was tired of picking cotton, tired of doing all of the stuff. And then he saw up in the clouds, GPC, and he thought it said, go preach Christ. This is my answer. And I looked at that, I said, GPC, like you think. He said, well, what does it mean? It says, go pick cotton. You know, one of the things I do know is if God has called you to do something, you ought to be able to do it. That's another clear sign. He never calls a preacher and the preacher can't preach. He never gives you a gift to sing and you can't sing. Whatever he's called you to minister in, he's given you that gift to minister through. So you might want to check your ministry, because if you have an encouraging ministry and you always negative and telling people bad stuff and talk, maybe the ministry of encouragement is not your ministry. If you don't have a ministry of reconciliation, don't be trying to be all of them people been talking about, I'm trying to help them get back together. Hey, that child about you, I wouldn't take that because I don't know, blah, blah, blah. God ain't in that. Check your ministry. Check how you operate. But look at what he says, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer, he starts to tell them now, polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted bread? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, you know, when you have issues with serving the Lord, then those things that he calls you to serve in and to and through and from becomes contemptible to you. And so when you hate the Lord, or when you do not love the Lord, you do not love the service of the Lord. You do not love the things of the Lord. And so when you talk bad on the Lord, then you talk bad about all of the things that are concerned or connected with the Lord in his service as well. Listen again, I want you to see this. It says, verse 8, it says, if he offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if he offer the lamb and steak, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with it? Or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. He said, now listen, let me just break this down to you. Here you are offering me less than your best. He said, now let me put it in human terms. If you offer to the Lord your God that same thing to the governor, not the president, not the king, the governor. He says, first of all, do you think he'll accept it? And then on top of that, do you think he'd accept you? Because here's what is true, that when the gift comes from the giver, the gift says more about the giver than it does the recipient. Did you hear what I just said? So when somebody gives you a gift, what they're really saying, more than what they're saying about you, is what they're saying about themselves. Because the gift always reflects the giver. And so that's why, again, when God loves us with an everlasting love, he made it based upon his love for us, not for us reciprocating it back to him. Because then if he had to love us the way we loved him, thank God he's not dealt with us according to what we deserve. Amen, somebody. And so he's making clear here and trying to get us to understand that even that you give to God that's not acceptable by man's standard, what makes you think it's going to be acceptable by God's standards? In other words, another way of saying that is, and it's another way to judge your gift giving, if you wouldn't want to receive from somebody the stuff you're giving them. And I like to tell people that when they're talking about giving away clothes and shoes and stuff like that. If you're not going to give away, listen, I give away what I still want. And I ain't going to lie with you. I got to pray, do I really want to give this away? Because I still like this. I can still wear this. I still have an eye for this. I ain't giving away stuff I don't want and don't like and can't use no more. You go in your cabinet and you get out all the bent cans, all the expired stuff. Now, you don't want that junk. Why would you think somebody else wants that junk? So the question is, what you want to receive, what you're giving away, is it worthy of you? So look again as we move forward. The Bible says, verse 9, and now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This had been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Verse 11, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Now, when those who serve the Lord and supposed to love the Lord talk about the things of the Lord like that, how do you think that goes across? Now listen, he says, to the heathen. If people in the world come in the church and church folk don't treat the church with the respect and reverence that the church deserves as the house of the Lord, when they talk about the man of God, when they talk about the officers of the people of God, when they talk about each other, how do you think it makes the sinner feel about them? When the sinner has a higher respect and reverence for God than the people of God. When you profane and pollute the things of God, the people of God, you are sending a major wrong message to the world. And listen to this, you are going to be accountable for it. Because the Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Don't sit there and act like you all of that and you can dance and shout and rejoice and do this and all that, and then talking about your brother and sister in the Lord. What are you? Who are you? Because what you've really done is polluted and profaned the house of God, the people of God, and every attempt God is trying to make to get the wicked to become righteous. Look again, I want you to see something else. Verse 13 now, here's where our verse is. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? So the first thing we want to deal with is he's dealing with three things. He's dealing with their heart, he's dealing with their head, and he's dealing with their hands. Now let's go back to the heart, because it starts off saying, ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. You see, when you really don't love the Lord, or anybody else for that matter, it's a difficult thing to do anything for him. See, because when you do things because you love someone, it's a joy. But when the joy is gone, it's a job. I mean, it gets under your skin. Can you give me a glass of water? What? Why didn't you ask me when I was in the kitchen? Well, that's all right. Don't worry about it. You know, I don't care how small and minute it is. It becomes a burden. And you get to the point where you just don't even want to ask no more. You know, that's all right. I'll just wait till the morning. You know, but listen at this now, because this is the word of the Lord. When the pastor or the worship leader or someone has to make you say amen to the word of God, you've opened your Bible, you see it's God's truth, it's rightly divided, you know God is speaking, and you have got to be made to say amen, praise the Lord, thank you Jesus, some response. Something is wrong with that in the heart. And listen to this, you get to the point where you come to church, but ain't no church on the inside of you. It's a ritual. You're just going through the motions. You've gotten dressed. You want to be able to say you went to church that day, but you very well could have stayed home and not messed up those clothes for what you have given to the Lord by way of worship in that service or by what you've heard. Some of us, now, you know what don't make sense to me? Now, why would you get dressed, come to any one of the services, and then sleep in church? When the worship and the praise is your participatory part given to God, the word is God's response to what your needs and your situations and your prayer requests and all of that is. In other words, God's going to meet you in his word, and you fall asleep on his word. I mean, what is it about us that don't understand God wants real heart worship? It ain't about all the other stuff that's going on. It's about what's in your heart. And when you become weary at doing that, Lord, here we go. We got to stand up again. Come on, lift up, hold their hands. How long are they going to be with all of this? All right, well, that's just the heart he's dealing with here. He said also, behold, what a weariness is it. But then he moves on to the head, because then he says, ye have snuffed at it. Snuffed at it. Another, one of the definitions of snuffed is sniffed. To intake airflow, but do it with an attitude. He said, you smell it, but you smell it as if it stinks. You know, when you sniff like that, you twist up all the rest of your face. You don't ever smell something that smells foul with a smile. Y'all didn't get that, did you? So when it stinks, you know, you twist your face all up at it. So what God is saying is, not only is it in your heart, but it shows on your face. Now it gets to the point where you ain't even trying to hide it no more. You know how sometimes we try to hide how we do feel when we don't feel like folk think we ought to feel? You know, I look at folk, and the Bible says a merry heart. See, if your heart is happy and right, it's going to show on your face. You know, I understand sometimes you might be in pain, might have stomach ache, might have headache, might be aching in your body, and you're really not feeling like smiling. But when you lose yourself in worship and praise of God, you will find out that God will dismiss the pain and the problems in that worship experience. When you lose yourself in him, and he'll turn that frown into a smile.
But the word says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Doesn't cost like a medicine, doesn't smell like a medicine, doesn't taste like a medicine. It just does good like a medicine. And you can look on the hearts of folk by seeing their faces and seeing they got some joy. There's some folk, I wish I could say, Lord, I'd like them to be in worship, them to be in worship, them the rest. And let's just send the rest to the overflow somewhere where I don't have to look at these faces. God's been good to you, blessed you, opened doors, made way. And you gonna sit there and act like you doing him a favor by being in his house? Oh my God. And so listen at this. It goes from the heart, goes to the head where you ain't even trying to hide. I don't like it. I don't care who don't like it. I don't feel like doing this. I don't care. Stand on your feet. You can stand up. I'm tired of all this standing up. My feet hurt. All right, on and on. Okay. It ain't gonna hurt like something else gonna hurt when the Lord get through with you. Listen at this. So now it goes from the heart to the head, now to the hands. Because listen at this now. The two external realities are a direct connection with the heart. The head and the hands are connected with the heart. Look again, verse 13 again. And he says, ye brought that which was torn. That means forced. Torn. And the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. He said, listen at this now. He says, you got something that you literally either got or took by force, or it was torn from you. It was not given in love. It was not given freely. It was not given because you honor God. It was torn from you. It hurt you. As the folks say, it hurted you to depart with that dollar or that five or that ten or whatever the gift was. Listen at this. And then he says, not only was it torn, he said, but you bring lame stuff. Stuff that's either messed up and not whole, not perfect. And when it came to sacrificial animals or pigeons or whatever, they had to be perfect. He says, but what you would do is you would go through your flock, or you'd go through your bird, because that's what you sold or that was a part of what you owned, and you'd pick out the worst one because you had plans of selling the best ones for what you could get for. And you'd give the Lord the lame one who had a broken wing, a broken leg, a bad eye, or something that was wrong with you. Say, I'm going to sacrifice this to the Lord. Now listen to this. Chances are you weren't going to be able to sell that no how. But you want to sacrifice. Can I tell you, it's not a sacrifice if it don't cost you nothing. It's not a sacrifice if you don't feel it. It's not a sacrifice if you don't, again, have a perception of the worth of that thing. And then he says, not only that, he said, you bring me the sick stuff that's one blink from dying. Not stuff that's going to be healed and come back to full health, but you bring me stuff that's maimed and that's depraved and that's sick and about to die, and put it on the altar and say, this is for my God. Listen, this was part of one of his sermons, say that some of the priests would take the best of the stuff, keep it for themselves, and the stuff that wasn't. So that was a part of what they put on the altar for God. And that's why he's dealing with them, because when the people brought in some of the stuff, the people, yeah, they did give some stuff that wasn't right, but then the priests ate from the altar. So they were saying, you know what, I tell you what, we're going to keep the best of them and put the rest of this stuff for the Lord. It's like the man who had gotten some money one day, and he told the Lord, he said, listen, I really want to do the right thing by you. He said, but you know, I don't really know how to do that. You know my heart is over, so this is what I'm going to do. He said, I got all this money, and you told me how to pay tithes and how to give offering. He had it all in cash money. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to take all this money, and I'm going to give it up to you. I'm going to throw it up. And what you want, you keep. What you don't, let it come down. You know what? We ought to be scared playing with God like that. Because the man in Luke chapter 12 discovered God can let your stuff stay down here and take you up out of here. You need to be careful playing with God and not